Well, we have a new year before us. And in the year 2018, what are we going to focus on in our lives? It's a question that we ask at the beginning of each year as we think about what the new year holds in store for us. And this morning, I would like to introduce a topic that we will be focusing on throughout the year in our gospel meetings and also from the pulpit from time to time. And it is the question, why did Jesus die on the cross? And we're going to be looking at the cross of Christ this year in many different ways. When you hear the question, why did Jesus die on the cross? I bet that many of you will be thinking, well, for forgiveness, or so that we might be redeemed, or so that we might be saved. And those answers are certainly correct. But the Bible actually has many answers to the question, why did Jesus die on the cross? And we're going to be looking at some of those answers this year. And this morning, we're going to begin with the first answer to this question that we're going to be studying. When I was putting together this thought, why did Jesus die on the cross, I started writing out several things that I knew that the Bible said about it, and I just kept writing and writing and writing and just brainstorming it. I came up with 17 answers. And then I started talking to some other people about it, and they added some additional answers that I hadn't taken into consideration. And it's above 20 now. And then this morning, while we're in worship and while we're focusing on the Lord's Supper and the prayers that were being said and the thoughts that were given during the Lord's Supper, I thought, there's another three or four reasons that I could think of just in this service this morning alone. And so the question, why did Jesus die on the cross, is not a question that has just one simple answer to it. There are many answers and things that we need to think about and to take into consideration. And why is that? Because the cross of Jesus Christ is the central defining aspect of who Jesus was. And Jesus is the defining aspect of who we are as Christians. That word Christian has Christ in it. And that's because Christ is supposed to be in the Christian. And that's you and that's me. And so why did Jesus die on the cross? It's an important question for us to think about. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 7 through 8. Here at the beginning of our lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 7 through 8, Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." What is Paul saying in these verses? Well, among other things, he's saying that God had a plan and that God knew exactly what he was doing, and he had so many reasons for putting Jesus on the cross. And when we think about those reasons, if man had known what God's mind was, man would not have put Jesus on that cross. There's so many reasons when we ask this question, why did Jesus die on the cross? In God's wisdom, he saw that man needed Jesus. And he also saw that man needed Jesus to die on the cross. Paul speaks about not knowing anything except Christ and him crucified in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." But when we talk about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, there are many, many things to say. God's wisdom ordained that Jesus should die on the cross, and that's the answer to the question that we first want to look at this morning. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Because God ordained it. What exactly does that mean? Why did God ordain Jesus to die on the cross in His infinite wisdom? Well, we see, first of all, that God ordained it because it was part of His eternal purpose. And what do we mean when we say God had an eternal purpose? It's to say simply this, that God had a plan. And you know, you can't outplan God because He sees all the possibilities and He sees all the eventualities and He knows exactly how things are going to go before they even go. And God had a plan. And part of understanding that God ordained that Jesus die on the cross is our understanding for ourselves that God has a plan and we need to get with His plan. Right? God has a program and we need to be involved in His program. And so when we think about God ordaining things, we understand it to mean that God knows exactly what He's doing. He knows exactly when we were going to be born. He knows when we're going to die. He knows what's going to transpire in between those two dates. And He has a plan for our life, just as He had a plan for Jesus' life, and that He ordained that Jesus should die on the cross. In Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5, we read, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Do you see what's being said in that verse? That God had a plan. He knew exactly when Jesus was going to be born. He knew exactly the circumstances under which Jesus was going to be born. And He knew exactly the reason that Jesus was going to be born, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Ephesians 3 and verse 11 says that this plan was according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. God had a plan, and that Jesus died on the cross was part of His eternal plan. It was part of His great purpose. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9 we read that God through Christ has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, listen to it, before time began. Are we thinking about the awesome and wonderful power of God? Are we thinking about the awesome and wonderful knowledge of God? Are we thinking about the awesome and wonderful plans and purposes of God? And how He can accomplish those plans even when our feeble mind cannot conceive of the way that it's going to be done? I hope we are, because that's exactly what God wants us to think about. When we think about the question, why did Jesus die on the cross? And we think about the answer, because God ordained it. It was part of His eternal purpose. Peter says, "You are not redeemed with corruptible things like gold or silver from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish." Now listen to the next verse. We don't quote it as much as we do this one, but listen to the next one. "He indeed," that is Jesus Christ, "indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." It was always God's plan that Jesus would die on the cross because He ordained it. It was part of His eternal purpose, and it was done for us. So Jesus died on the cross because of God's eternal purpose. But notice that second, He died on the cross because God ordained it, and that God ordained it was the will of God. We think about the will of God quite frequently. In fact, we mention the will of God almost every single time we pray at the Lord's table. When we say things like, help us to do that which is pleasing to thy will. Right? What is pleasing to the will of God? What is the will of God? It's what God desires. It's what God wants. It's how God has given us instruction, teaching, example in the person of Jesus Christ. It was the Father's will that Jesus go to the cross. We think about the will of God, we've got to think about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because that will of God is the will of all three persons of the Godhead. The Father willed that Jesus go to the cross. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus exemplified for us what it meant to truly be a human person, because He always did the Father's will, and it was within the mind of the Father that the human person was conceived. Now think about that for just a minute. We think about God ordained that Jesus go to the cross. It meant that God had a plan, He had a purpose, and that He desired this to take place. Why? Because within the mind of God are all things, all plans, all purposes for everything that exists. He knows exactly what we were designed to be because He designed us. He knows exactly what it means to be a human person because it was that way within His mind from all eternity, what a human person would be. And when Jesus says, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me, He is in essence saying, I am conforming myself to that pattern that God had within His mind as to what a human person should be. You see, every other human has not done that. When Eve partook of that fruit and then gave to her husband Adam in the garden, and they partook of that fruit and sin entered into the world. And Paul says that sin affected the world in that all sinned. All men became sinners because of the sin that was in their life, and thereby diverged or went away from the pattern of humanity that God held within His mind. But Jesus didn't do that, you see. He knew what it meant to be perfectly human, and He lived a perfectly human life as God intended it to be lived. He said in John 8 and verse 29, and He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. Always. Jesus always did the Father's will. He always conformed to the pattern that the Father had for what it meant to be human. And we see that it was the Father's will for Jesus to go to the cross. In Hebrews 10, in verses 8 through 10, we read this quotation from the Old Testament, which is then applied to Jesus. Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then He said, and this is Jesus, He saw that God did not want those old animal sacrifices. And Jesus said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that He may establish the second. That is all the things of the old covenant that God set up as types and symbols for He who was to come to perfectly do what those things could not do. Jesus. He takes away the first that He may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The Father's will was that Jesus died on the cross, that we might be sanctified. In Luke 22 and verse 42, perhaps in the clearest statement that we can understand in reference to the Father's will versus our will, when the Father told Jesus, you need to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world, Jesus struggled with that mightily because He was, in fact, a human. And He knew the desires of the flesh, though He did not sin, but He knew the temptations. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, the Bible tells us. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, while He was kneeling there praying, and angels were attending to Him because of the great suffering that He was undergoing, knowing the trials that were about to come upon Him, and the suffering in the flesh that He was going to experience, He prayed this prayer, Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Yours be done. You see, Jesus knew the Father's will, and He desired to do the Father's will, and He did what the Father willed to do. Though He were a son, yet He learned obedience through the things that He suffered, and having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Because it was the Father's will. But then third, why did Jesus die on the cross? Because it was Jesus' desire. It was Jesus' will to go to the cross as well. You remember in Matthew 16 there, just after Peter had made the good confession, when Jesus was asking the disciples, He said, who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, or some say that you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus turned to them and said, but who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter spoke up and he said, Lord, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And then almost in the very next breath, Jesus starts to talk about how that's going to happen, how it's going to be accomplished. And it says a little bit further down there in Matthew 16 that He began to talk about how He must go to Jerusalem and how that He must suffer and die at the hands of the chief priests and the Pharisees and others. And that Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him and said, Lord, not so. We'll not be with You this way. And of course, we remember what Jesus said to Peter at that point. And He said, get you behind Me, Satan, for you do not mind the things of God, but the things that be of men. Oh, how Peter did not know the will of the Father. And he didn't know the will of Jesus either. Because in that context, Jesus said that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and be killed and be raised the third day. You see, Jesus willed that. He knew that He had to do that. And He told the disciples about it. When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers came for Him there. And you remember there was a great band of soldiers that were going to take Jesus back to the high priest. And there was a man there by the name of Malchus, the Bible records. And when he was coming to take Jesus, Peter took out his sword and he swung it at that man, Malchus. And he wasn't aiming for his ear. He was probably aiming for his head. But evidently Malchus might look like he ducked aside or something like that. And the sword hit Malchus' ear and his ear came off. And the Bible says that Jesus touched his ear and it was healed. And then Jesus turned to Peter in that context and He said, put up your sword, for all they who live by the sword will die by the sword. And then He said this, or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father and He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. 12 legions of angels. It's a lot of angels. For what purpose? So that they might deliver Jesus from the hands of these soldiers who have come to take Him. But you see, it wasn't Jesus' will that He be delivered. His will was to go to the cross. He could have called it off right then and there, but He did not. Which is why the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not count the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, the American Standard Version says, but He emptied Himself. He made Himself of no reputation. He took the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, it was Jesus' will that He go to that cross. It was Jesus' will that He leave heaven and come to earth. It was Jesus' will that He be obedient to God. It was Jesus' will that He humble Himself. Jesus desired to go to that cross. And He said in John 10 and verses 17 through 18, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father. Jesus willed to go to the cross. Titus 2 and verses 13 through 14 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Jesus' offering was a free will offering. And no other sacrifice would have been sufficient for the price that needed to be paid for the sins of mankind than a free will offering. That is the superior sacrifice that God desired out of Jesus. And that was exactly what Jesus gave. Why did Jesus die on the cross? God ordained it in His wisdom. It was part of God's eternal purpose. It was the will of the Father, and it was Jesus' will that He go to that cross and die there, that we might have forgiveness of sins, hope of eternal life, fellowship with one another, wonderful unity within the body of Jesus Christ. All the wonderful, beautiful blessings that follow from that resulted because of Jesus' will and His desire and the Father's will and God's ordaining it. Oh, the plans of God are wonderful. They're marvelous. They're beautiful. And when we look at the entire tapestry of God's wonderful weaving while we seek to understand the threads, sometime we've got to back up and look at the whole and appreciate it for the beauty that it really is. And certainly, the story of Jesus Christ and His sacrificing Himself for us is the most beautiful love story that was ever told. It was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons or many children to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. And in 1 Timothy 2 and verses 4 through 6, the Bible says that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now Jesus did that for you and me, that we could have the wonderful, blessed benefits of life in Him and fellowship with Him, forgiveness, love, hope, peace, joy, all of these wonderful things. And it would be foolish of us to look at God's plan and God's purpose and what God ordained and what the Father willed and what Jesus willed. It would be foolish of us to look at that and say, you know, I just don't want to have anything to do with it. Oh, let's not be foolish. Instead, let's listen to Jesus' teaching in this regard. What does Jesus say that we need to do to respond to this great eternal purpose that God had in mind? Hear His Word, believe it, repent of our sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And if you have not followed that plan to become a child of God, why are you working against the great eternal plan and purpose of God within your life? You can't get outside of God's will. And His will is for us to obey, just like Jesus obeyed. And so why not give your life to Him this morning, obeying that very simple plan that Jesus gave to be saved, to take advantage of the salvation that God offers through Christ, and to become a child of God this very hour. And if you need the prayers of the church, then we will pray with you and for you, because it was Jesus' will. It was the Father's will. It was His eternal purpose that we have this beautiful, wonderful fellowship in Christ Jesus. Why? Because He went to the cross and died for it. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Because God ordained it. And He ordains that you obey Him this very hour. Why not do that while we stand and while we sing?